Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. This morning's message is a message that is targeted for the seniors, but is applicable for every single person that sits here this morning. For all of us have epoch moments in our life, those times when from here forward everything changes. And I want to talk with you about those moments this morning from the book of Jeremiah. So stand with me, if you will, out of respect for God's word, and let's read from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest whom in Athon, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Joash, the king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But he said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And then he said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege that I have to stand for the next few moments and grace your desk, your pulpit. I pray that you would come and you would speak into our hearts and speak into our lives and let us hear what the Spirit is saying, not only to these seniors, but to each of us as we face epoch moments in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As you are, look at somebody this morning and say, this message is for me. It's a word from the Lord. It's a word from the Lord. And I receive it this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Jeremiah is a tough book. There is perhaps no season in history that is easy to serve the Lord, especially if you are living in a culture such as Jeremiah lived, or perhaps even in the culture in which we live today. But Jeremiah's occasion here, as we find him in his life, is an exceptionally difficult one. It is a season in the history of Israel. There is a siege on Jerusalem. They have been sieged by Nebuchadnezzar. There's the best of all of them are being taken away by Nebuchadnezzar captive. Their kings are either being imprisoned and taken away and held imprisonment in foreign lands, or at the best they have become puppets of Nebuchadnezzar and the Pharaoh of Egypt. They have seen the destruction of the temple. They've seen the destruction of Jerusalem that is there, of Jeremiah's city that was there. And it is to such a season as this, such a difficult history and period in the history of Israel, that God calls Jeremiah, a boy, mind you, perhaps as young as 14 years old, this young boy prophet to the nations, he calls him. This is Jeremiah's epoch. This is the first of perhaps many occasions where from this point forward, everything changes. From this point forward, nothing will ever be the same again. From this point forward, all of us face those times. All of us have those occasions. They come in many flavors. They can be the graduation from high school or the graduation from college. Perhaps an epoch can be a moment of celebration as in a marriage, or an epoch may be a moment of sadness as in the death or the passing of a loved one. An epoch may be the severing of a relationship or the beginning of a new relationship, or it may be just in your quiet time when God speaks into your heart and says, from this day forward, it will never be the same again. I had an epoch moment such as this just a few months ago. My family and I, pastoring in Alabama, and it just a simple phone call changed everything for us. And Pastor Brown called us and said, Glenn, I have resigned, and I believe in my heart, as do the board, that you will fit, and you and Geraldine and your ministry will fit there. And prior to that, there had been a number of phone calls, none of which we had pursued, number of opportunities, none of which we had pursued, but just in a simple phone call of about that lasted about 5 minutes long, the initial phone call about 5 minutes long, I knew that everything had changed, and from this point forward, it would never be the same again. Such was the case with Jeremiah. In fact, maybe a little history will help you understand, help us understand the gravity of the situation that Jeremiah finds himself in. You see, Jeremiah's father, Hilkiah, which is there in the first verse that you'll find it there, Hilkiah was a priest, as was his father before him, and most likely his father before him and before him. And Jeremiah was destined to be a priest. He was expected to serve. In fact, at 14 years old, when this call comes, he was very likely at a stage where he could just begin to learn the priesthood. And yet, it is to that occasion that God comes and says what? Jeremiah, I have called you to be a prophet, not a priest. This idea was not lost on Jeremiah. It may have been lost on us, or it may be lost on others. But Jeremiah understood that this was an epoch moment, and everything changed from this point forward. See, the priest duties were predictable. The priest, as he would follow the written law. He would follow the instructions. The priest would come and give. There were sacrifices to offer, and there was lepers to examine. There were unclean people to exclude from the camp. There were cleansed people that would be brought and reinstated. The priest would officiate ceremonies, and they would keep the sanctuary ready for service, and they would teach the law. The duties of the priest were very predictable. On the prophet, on the other hand, on any given day, you may have a new assignment. As a prophet, you never knew what God might ask you to do. And you did know that he would ask you to do some very difficult things. No wonder Jeremiah said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm called to be a priest and not a prophet. And yet God said, I have this day as an epoch. Nothing will be the same. Everything you've learned from this point forward will be used, but I'm changing ultimately who you are. You see, the priest worked primarily to conserve the past by keeping up with and protecting the sanctuary and the ministry of the sanctuary. The prophet, on the other hand, labored to change the present by speaking to the hearts of men. In fact, the word heart appears 66 times in the book of Jeremiah. The priest deals with externals. The prophet deals with the internal things. No wonder Jeremiah say, I can't speak. I can't be a prophet to the nation. He understood what this moment was and what was about to happen in his life. Carlos and Anthony, I would say to you, as I would say to all of us, recognize the epoch moments in your life. Recognize when God is about to change things and do something different in your life, and embrace it with everything that is in you. The priest didn't preach to the crowds. In fact, the priest, watch this, the priest would minister to individuals who voluntarily came to the sanctuary. So they came to the sacrifices, the priest would take the sacrifices and examine them and help them make the sacrifice. Each man, when he came, he was desiring of the words of the priest. The prophet, on the other hand, spoke not just to the individual, but he spoke to the nations. And as he spoke to the nations, many times it was harsh words that could not be received or heard or was refused in some way. So no wonder, again, that Jeremiah said, not a prophet, but a priest I am called to be. You see, the priests belonged to a special tribe, and therefore their status was set. The prophet, on the other hand, could come from anywhere, and they had to prove who they were and that they were men of God. The priests were supported by sacrifices and by offerings. The prophet, on the other hand, had no guarantee of any income whatsoever. You understand the gravity of what's going on here? This is an epoch moment. Jeremiah knows everything has changed from this point forward. What I thought, I no longer know, because God's doing an incredible thing in my life. Jeremiah understood a life as a priest would be much easier, but a life as a prophet would be much more anointed and difficult. In fact, it's interesting because Jeremiah's ministry, as you read through this book, you find that at various times Jeremiah had to be at one point he had to be a destroyer and a builder. At another place, he had to be a pillar and a wall in Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter 6, he was a watchman. In Jeremiah later in chapter 6, he is a tester of metals. In Jeremiah chapter 8, he is a physician. In Jeremiah chapter 11, he's a sacrificial lamb. In Jeremiah chapter 12, he's a long-distance runner. In Jeremiah chapter 13 and 17, he's a shepherd. In Jeremiah chapter 15, two different times, he's a troublemaker. Careful, mama. Don't nudge him. Jeremiah understood the difference that had changed. At the same time, there are some beautiful passages in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, verse 18, speaks of the potter's house and the beautiful truth that it reveals to us that we are made by his hands. Jeremiah chapter 23 speaks of the promise of the branch of righteousness, which is the Lord Jesus Christ who is to come. Jeremiah chapter 29 speaks of the promise that many of us could quote, "Behold, I have a plan for you. I know what my plan is for you, to prosper you, to give you a hope and to give you a future." Jeremiah chapter 30 talks about how God will save from afar. Jeremiah chapter 31, how that a remnant will be restored. Jeremiah chapter 46, how that God will preserve. Jeremiah chapter 51, how that God will avenge himself against the enemies. This mixture of tough news and good news is itself a picture of our life. It makes it real. Because no life, no individual has all good news or all bad news. And some of those occasions of both good news and bad news are epoch moments in our life. See, Jeremiah preached to the nation for 40 years, giving them both the promises of God and the warnings of God. Yet he lived to see Jerusalem and his beloved temple taken by King Nebuchadnezzar and his army and the people taken away captive. Jeremiah ministered in turbulent times, and yet he remained faithful to the Lord, and he exposed the futile foreign policies of the foreign leaders, pleading with his people to return to God with all of their heart, only to see them turn in a way but never give their hearts fully to the Lord. This was a difficult time. Because of all of this, Jeremiah understood that this was an epoch moment in his life, as there are in many of our lives. So this morning, I want to talk with you just for a few moments. I'm going to try to keep it brief this morning so that we can have a few moments to fellowship and with the graduates and their families. But I want to talk with you just for a few moments about epoch moments. Here are some things I know about epoch moments in our lives, whether you're talking about a high school graduate or college graduates or decisions about where to go to school or who to marry or career changes or maybe God changes your life entirely and sends you in a whole different direction. Here's some things I know about epoch moments when God is ready to do something in your life. There's a few things that are. One thing is this in our lives. Almost always, listen to me, almost always you will feel that you are not ready. Right? Anybody can identify this morning when you sense God moving something in your life and beginning to change, beginning to do something different or something powerful in your life, almost always you will feel like you are not ready. Listen to me, Carlos. Listen to me, Anthony. There will be times in your life, I promise you, from here forward, there will be times when you will feel like you are not ready. Just as the prophet Jeremiah felt that he was not ready for this occasion, he was not ready for this instance. There will be times in your life, Terrence. There'll be times in your life, Tish. There'll be times in your life, Chase, where you will feel that you are not ready. There'll be times in your life, Jim and Melanie, when you'll feel that you are not ready. Jeremiah, though, and I'm going to talk about this in a few moments, understood what God was saying and what God was doing and embraced what he was doing. Can I tell you this morning, when God brings those changes in your life, embrace what he is doing with everything in your being. Ready or not, here I come. That's sort of what graduation is, isn't it? Ready or not, here I come. And so it is for our life sometimes. Let me tell you something else I know about epoch moments. Almost always, you will think the task is too big. Right? Anybody can identify that? Almost always, God, I am a little boy and this is a big nation. God, I'm a young lad and this is a big message. God, I'm a small voice, and yet this is a clarion call that you were made. Almost always, you will feel that the task is too big. You can see that in the lives of many of God's men. Daniel, no doubt Daniel looked and said, "Whoa, God, the lion's den is too big for me." No doubt David looked and in his heart, at least for a moment, felt that the giant was too big. No doubt as you go down through time, Jonah was one who certainly felt that the task was too big and ran from it. Almost always, when you are in an epoch moment, almost always you will think that the task is too big. Well, you say, "Pastor, I thought you were going to encourage me this morning." I am. Just hold on for a moment. I'm just wanting to give you a sense of reality this morning. Almost always, you'll feel like you're not ready. Almost always, you'll think the past is too big. When you're standing on an epoch moment and when you go into an epoch season, almost always, you will run into difficulty and opposition. Right? Am I telling the truth this morning? Almost always you will run into difficulty and opposition. No assignment from God is an assignment that you could do by yourself, elsewise you wouldn't need the call of God. Let me say that again this morning so you get what I'm saying. Almost always, if not always, the assignment of God is an assignment that you could not do by yourself. Otherwise, you would not need the call of God on your life. Almost always, there's going to be a difficulty. Almost always, there's going to be opposition. Almost always, there's going to be something that's going to keep you back, try to keep you back from the dream that God's put in your life, from fulfilling the call that God has put in your life. Almost always, there's going to be that which opposes or makes difficult the way. You see, no matter what you choose in life, a teacher, a preacher, a chemist, a coach, a bread maker, a candlestick maker, whatever you choose in life, almost always, you're going to run into some difficulty and some opposition. So when you stand in this moment, it's almost always you're going to feel like you're not ready, that the task is too big, you run into some difficulty and opposition. Almost always in life, you're going to get some unpleasant assignments. Wow. Almost always. David had to tend for the sheep, but it was there he learned to be a king. Daniel had to serve in the lowest levels before God exalted him to the highest levels. Joseph had to go through a prison in order to be released and free to be the second in command, as Pharaoh's second in command. Christ himself had to, as Philippians tells us, take the form of a man, making him a servant, and coming as the form of a servant, that he would come and take the way and choose the way of the cross. You see, almost always God will give you some unpleasant assignments. And may I say to all of us, but may I say especially to Anthony and to Carlos this morning, embrace those unpleasant assignments. The word tells us to weary not in well-doing, to tend to the small things. You see, here's what I know God will do in your life and what God does in all of our lives. God will test you in the small things to see if he can give you responsibility for the big things. God, in your life, he will come into your life, and he will give you a small thing, an unpleasant task. And what he's testing there is your attitude and your heart. Doesn't he? Doesn't he put us in situations, and what he's looking for is, he's looking for, oh, come on, God. Right? What he's looking for is oh, God, now you know I'm, Lord, this is not me. This is not my thing. This is not my calling, right? This wasn't Jeremiah's calling. Almost always. In fact, here's what I believe. Every person who ever desires to be a preacher should have to teach the sixth grade boys class. Right? You ever taught sixth grade boys? Raise your hand if you've never taught sixth grade boys. Never taught sixth grade boys. Okay, get the list. Somebody get a list here. See, God's going to put you in a sixth grade boys class to test your attitude and your heart. To see that in that, if you will be faithful unto him and serve them, doing everything as unto the Lord in such a way that he can trust your heart, then with the bigger things, almost always, you're going to have some unpleasant task. One last thing, and then I want to show you some scriptures here that bring some encouragement into this. Almost always, there will come a season when you will have to hear God for yourself. In fact, that's one of the things God tests when he puts us through those seasons, is he looks and he tests us to see, will I listen for his voice? Will I cling to his voice? Will I allow my heart to run toward him? So having set that and set that stage this morning, if you'll just give me about 15 minutes this morning, I want to show these seniors and I want to show all of us. In fact, if we could, I want us to, let's return to the blackboard for just one more lesson. Is that okay? I want to pull some scriptures out here, and I just want to show you some things. I call them epoch lessons, lessons from Jeremiah's life that will speak into our lives, and I want to speak them into your lives here this morning. The first verse that I want to highlight is Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Let me read it to you again. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Four things are important here. Four things jump out to us that should be important to you as seniors and that should be important to us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show them to you real quickly this morning. Four things jump out from this scripture. The first thing is actually not the first one that is mentioned, but it is the first one in sequence. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Notice what it says. You, what he said to Jeremiah, he said, "Before I formed you, I knew you." The word there, "knew," is the word yada. It is the Hebrew word yada. It means to ascertain by seeing. What God was actually saying to Jeremiah is that before you were formed in your mother's womb, before Carlos you were formed, before Anthony you were formed, before any of us were formed in our mother's womb, that God was saw us to ascertain what we would be. He saw, now get the picture here now, before you were actually in the mind of God, you were, watch this, you were in the mind of God before you were a twinkle in your mama's eye. That's what he's saying here. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. Think about what that's saying. I knew you before I even formed you. Do you understand what that means? That means there has never been a time, nor will there ever be a time in your life that you will not be on the mind of God. He says, watch what he says. Yada, the word "knew" there means to ask, to see in order to ascertain. In other words, he saw you. He looked into your life. He looked down through the ages of time and what your life would be and what would come your way and how he would make you and how he would form you. See, that God knew Jeremiah. This speaks up to his sovereign election of Jeremiah as a servant. God chose Jeremiah before he was ever conceived. Wow. I want to tell you this morning, when you are in your epoch moment, I want to encourage you to remember this morning that long before you got to your epoch moment, long before you got to that training gown prior to that decision or that change in your life, long before you got to the difficulty that you might now be facing, long before you got to the battle that it seems now that you aren't able to overcome, long before that, he knew you. In the middle of your epoch moment, remember, God knew you. Second thing that is important here that he says this, he says, and it's the first thing that is stated, but it actually comes second in sequence. He says, Jeremiah, I formed you. The word "formed" there is an interesting word. It actually means, here's the literal interpretation. The word "formed" actually means squeezing into shape. It is the picture that Jeremiah actually sees later of the potter being on the potter's wheel. That you are in God's hand and that he is squeezing you into shape. May I say to you, that's why he brings us through some of those difficult situations that I spoke about a few moments ago. When God brings you through a narrow place that squeezes you, he does so because he is wanting to shape you and mold you. He's wanting to do something in your life. When he says, I formed you, that's what he literally meant. I knew you and then I formed you. I made you according to what I knew you should be. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying to you this morning? He knew you, and therefore he made you according to what you he knew you should be. When you were formed, God squeezed the DNA in the right sequence, and he placed it in the right order, and he put all of the genes in place where they need to be. He was squeezing you and shaping you and molding you, making you what he knew he desired for you to be. Jeremiah grew up to 14 years old thinking God had made him to be a priest, but God knew that long ago, while he was in the womb, that God had planted DNA inside of him. He had put a personality inside of him. He had put a voice that Jeremiah didn't even know he had inside of him to make him not a priest, but a prophet. And so God brought him to this epoch moment to reveal to him the plan that he had for him. Warren Wiersbe says it this way: what we are is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to God. What we are, my DNA, my personality, what God has made me to be, how he has positioned me, how he has made me, that is his gift to me. What I do with it then is my gift in return back to him. And so it is when God squeezes us and he shapes us and he molds us. So the first thing he says from this verse is you are known by God. The second thing is you are formed by God. The third thing is this. Jeremiah was, the word says very clearly there, Jeremiah was sanctified by God. The word "sanctified" there literally means consecrated, set aside, separated for service. This comes in a number of ways. In a number of ways, it comes into our lives. Sometimes that separation comes by the admonition of parents. where parents say to you, I know everybody else is doing it, but you aren't going to do it. Right? That's part of God separating. Part of it, listen to me, part of it, I've seen it, I've watched it. Part of it is where God will separate you from a group. God will separate you, and you think, and in your mind, that hurts, that separation hurts, that division hurts, that dividing of that relationship, that abandoning of that relationship there is one, and it hurts, but God is doing it. He's separating you. He's consecrating you for service unto Him, and so He did with Jeremiah. He said unto you, into your life, speaking unto you and saying unto you, I have given my best unto you, and now I am separating you, setting you apart for my service, he says to Jeremiah. May I say to you, he does the same thing for each one of us. His desire is to separate us. He knew Jeremiah in a personal way, in an intimate way, and there was able, therefore, to separate him and to pull him aside. He would later do that with Paul. He would later do that with John. He would later do that with Christ, where he sanctified them and consecrated them for service. The fourth thing is this. God ordained Jeremiah. The word there, ordained, is actually the word give. In the Hebrew, the word here for ordained is the word give. God gave Jeremiah for this purpose. Anthony, I don't know if you know, and Carlos, I don't know if you know what your purpose is in life, what it is that you want to do and to become, but I know this, God will separate you for and then give you to His purpose. Such it is in all of our lives. If we will submit to the mighty hand of God on our lives, He will give us unto the service for which He desires for us to serve and to labor. In this case, the Lord gave Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. He thought he would be a priest in the sanctuary, but God said, no, Jeremiah, I have given you as a prophet to the nations. Here's what I do believe. What I do believe. I believe God's dream for us is almost always bigger than our dream for ourselves. Jeremiah thought he was going to serve as a lowly priest, as one among many. Instead, God had for him to be a prophet to the nations. Can I tell you about your life this morning? I believe God has something for you that is grander, that is bigger, that is larger, that, yes, may be more taxing and more difficult as well, but will bring more honor, more glory, more praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords than you ever realized. You may not be a prophet to the nations, but you may be a prophet to your classmates. You may not be a prophet to the nations, but you may be a prophet to your neighborhood. You may not be a prophet to the nations, but you may be a prophet at a college campus somewhere. You may not be a prophet to the nations, but you'll be a prophet in a church somewhere where God plants you. You may not be a prophet to the nations, but God will put you in an industry or a business, and there you'll be a prophet to that industry and business. The point is that God's plan for you and His desire for you is bigger than you can imagine. Submit to His hand and submit to His will. Now let me show you in that command, let me show you another scripture here that just jumps out to me this morning that I want to share with you, because it speaks of three promises that I want to just share with you just real briefly this morning. Watch these promises. Look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and notice what it says. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. There are three promises here, because I will admit to you, as with Jeremiah on this occasion, there is this sense of God, I can't do this. In fact, if you feel that you can do it on your own, you may not be doing what God's called you to do. Whoa. If you feel like you can accomplish it and do it on your own and without Him, you may not be functioning in the capacity where God wants you to function. And so there is this sense of this, and God recognized that in Jeremiah. And so He says three very important things to Jeremiah that I want to say to you as seniors and to us as a group as we are gathered here this morning. When you face whatever is your epoch moment, when you are standing on the edge of the cliff and you are looking forward, or you're standing at the V in the road and you're trying to, or the Y in the road and you're trying to decide which way to go, and you're standing there, God has put this burden in your heart and He's spoken this unto you. I want you to remember these three promises that He said to Jeremiah. The first thing that He said to him from verse 8 is this: do not be afraid of their faces. Watch this, for I am with you. Can I tell you something this morning? Of all of the promises in the entire Bible, that is the promise I believe that I personally am more thankful for than any other. And that is that God is with me. Watch this morning. Listen to me this morning. There is, for in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is where I find grace to meet the situation. In his presence is where I find peace to stand up under a burden. In his presence is where I find strength for the battle. Oh, I'm so thankful, aren't you? I'm thankful that he is with me when I go through the things that I go through, when I have to make the decisions that I have to make. I'm thankful that he is with me when I have plenty and with me when I have none. I'm thankful that he is with me when I see the way clearly. And I'm thankful that he is with me when I have no way and no idea which way to turn. I'm thankful when there's light in my life. And I'm thankful when I can't see any light that his presence is with me. This morning, I want to say to you, Carlos, and to you, Anthony, to all of us, there will be times in your life when you won't know which way to turn. You know that God is with you. I want you to know this morning, you may not know which decision to make and where to go forward. I want you to know in that decision time that God is with you. I want you to know this morning that maybe you'll face a time, a difficult time of a job or a relative or a relationship that is there. And in those seasons, I want you to know that God is with you. There's nothing more valuable than his presence. In fact, I'm going to say something to you this morning, and listen to me and follow with me here clearly this morning, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. It is his presence, the ability of God to abide with us, that is the reason Christ went to the cross. Listen to me this morning. So much of the time we limit that with salvation. Christ went to the cross that I might be saved. That is true, but why did he save you? Remember what he said? That he might abide with us. That's why he went to the cross. God could not abide with man. There was this separation, this division between God and man. That's what the sanctuary and the temple was all about, with its walls and its curtains and its division between the place of the common man and the holy place where only the priests were welcome. That's what God did. That's why when Christ hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished," that's why he reached down, God Almighty reached down and took the curtain that separated the common man from the presence of God, and from top to the bottom rent it and tore it open, that you and I could abide in his presence. And I want to say to you this morning, no matter where you find yourself, as a senior in high school or as a retiree trying to look and see what to do next, I want you to know this morning, God gives a promise, I am with you. Second promise he makes to Jeremiah is this. Look at it, verse 9. He put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord is with me, but I'm also thankful that he has touched me. You remember an old song, "He Touched Me"? He touched me, and now I know. Do you remember the touch of God on your life? Do you remember an occasion, a time when God put his hand on your lips or he put his hand on your life? That's God's touch in your life is such a precious thing, such a dear thing in your life, that God has, the almighty hand of God has come down and he's touched Anthony and he's touched Carlos and he's touched every one of us here. He said to Jeremiah, because he knew this, he knew that Jeremiah would need to know more than God was just with him, but that God had touched him. And I want to tell you this morning that is such a precious gift from the Lord. He says this, "I have put forth my hand and I have touched you." In fact, notice where he touched him. He touched him in the place where Jeremiah thought he was the weakest. You know why I think God sometimes puts his hand on that spot in our lives? Because in our weakness, he is made strong, that no man may glory in his presence. Can I make this real to you just with a personal story just real quick? If you'll allow me to digress just for a moment. In that point of weakness, I was 16 years old and in vacation Bible school, and I remember that particular year that I won the award for memorizing the most scriptures out of everybody in the entire vacation Bible school. My aunt was teaching the class. My mom was helping run the vacation Bible school. And they insisted. Now, I'm 16 years old, and they insisted that I go down to the front and receive an award. Now you got to understand, at that time in my life, there was no way I was going down to the front. I know some of you are looking this morning at what is the deal there. But I'm telling you, I wasn't going to stand in front of a crowd. I wasn't going to be in front of a crowd. I'd leave me in the corner, leave me in the back. I'm fine. I'm comfortable where I am. There's no way. Mom and my aunt, they just kept on. Now listen, it's not going to be but just a moment. It's not going to be just, you just walk down to the front. You don't have to say anything. Just stand there and receive the certificate. They kept on and on and on. Can mamas do that? Mamas can do that, can't they? And finally I said to them, I said, all right, here's what I'll do. At our old church, when you went down to the sanctuary, there was a big long vestibule, and then you turned left to go into the sanctuary from the Sunday school classrooms. And so here's what I told them I'd do. I said, here's what I'll do. I will, if you will allow me to be the last one, so that I don't have to stand in line any longer than I have to, and I don't have to stand at the front, do everybody else, and I'll be the last one to walk in, and I'll get my certificate, and that'll be it. They said, all right, that's what we'll do. Everybody gets in front, aunt gets in the front, mama gets in the front, and my aunt and Sunday school, VBS class gets in the front, and they all walk down, and I'm at the back of the line, and as they turn left to go to the front of the sanctuary, I go out the back door. Thought my mama was gonna kill me. What's the point of that, Pastor? God, in his humor, chose to touch that weakness in my life so that as I stand here before you today, I'm preaching for 25 years and love being in front of God's people. See, what God wants is something he can use in your life where you or no other man can receive the glory. And it all belongs to him. Give him your weaknesses. Give him your strengths. Give him your talents. Give it all to him and let him use it. He will touch you. Third thing this morning. He said to him, I am with you. I have touched you. Watch the third thing that he says here. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. There are going to be occasions when you're in an epoch moment. There are going to be circumstances and situations, opportunities where you will not know what to say. I love what the word says here. He says, I have put my words in your mouth. In fact, if we read the rest of the scripture there, he says, see, I have set before you this day that you are over nations and kingdoms. How could that be? How could Jeremiah, a 14-year-old, be over nations because God had put his word in his mouth? You might be thinking as you're sitting here, Pastor, I know what it is God's challenged me to do or asked me to do or wants me to do, but how can I possibly do that? You can do that when God's put his words in your mouth. You may not have the answers or the ability or the talent inside of you, but when God has put his word inside of you, it makes you what you are not. It makes you a servant unto him, a vessel honorable unto his service. See, when God puts his word in your life, when he puts it inside of you, you can root down and pull up, destroy and throw down. You can build and plant. How could a 14-year-old boy do that? 14-year-old can't do that except that he had the word of the Almighty God inside of him. He says to them, he says, you shall, watch this. What do you see, Jeremiah? What do you see? Verse 12. I see the branch of an almond tree. And I'm trying to close here. I'm trying to wrap this up. Ginger, if you will help me, please. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see an almond tree. Now watch this. You got to understand a little bit about the history as I try to pull this together. Watch this, what he says here. In the Holy Land, the almond tree blossoms in January. It is the first indication that spring is coming. It says to the Jew, as he sees, when he sees the almond tree bloom, he knows that spring is about to erupt. Spring is about to come. Spring is about to happen. And so when he spoke this word, when he said to, and he gave Jeremiah this vision of an almond tree, or perhaps it wasn't a vision, perhaps Jeremiah, as he looked at, perhaps he actually saw an almond tree. But as Jeremiah spoke to him, and he said, I saw an almond tree, he said, you have seen well, watch this, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Can I say something to you this morning, Anthony, and something to you, Carlos, and something to every one of you this morning? The promise God's put into your heart, he is ready to perform it. God is setting on ready. He is eager to do what he has promised you. He is eager to do what he's put into your heart to do. He is eager to perform all of his promises to you. And he is eager to make you a prophet to the nations or a prophet to the factory or a prophet to the neighborhood that you are in. I believe, Carlos and Anthony, I believe you represent the almond tree. ready for life, ready for what is ahead, ready for it to burst forth. And I want to say to you this morning, God's ready to do what He's promised He would do in your life. I want to say to the rest of you that are here this morning, God is no less ready. Some of you are hanging on to a promise that you've hung on a long time. But can I tell you something this morning, what I feel? I believe the promise of the almond tree is to you this morning. God's ready to perform it. God is ready to do it. See what this actually means. When you study the Hebrew idiom there actually means this, that God is watching over His word in order to bring it to pass. The promise that God's put into your life, God's earnest, God is watching over that word, and when it is time, He is ready to perform it. Pat, God, the promise that God has made you, the thing He has put in your heart, He's watching over that. He's superintending. And when it is ready, when it is time, He is ready to perform it in that moment. Carlos and Anthony, the same thing in your life. There will be times and there will be occasions as you go along that you will look and you'll say, God has done this, for I cannot do it. That's because God has been watching over His word. That's the season, that's the occasion, and He's ready to perform it. The promise I would say to you this morning is this. Be as true to Him as He is to you. Be as faithful to Him as He is to you. Embrace what God is doing and all of what God is doing in your life. And as you do so, understand that God will continually be ready. He'll send you His word. He'll touch you in your place of weakness. He'll put His word into your mouth, and He will perform what He has promised unto you. And all of God's people said, amen. The word amen means let it be so. Let it be so. We're going to close this morning with prayer over the graduates. And so I want to invite Carlos and his family and Anthony and his family to come this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to pray over them, and I want you as a congregation to extend. Come and just stand where we can pray together. Daniel, if you are where you can, will you come help me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Daniel, if you'll stand there where you can put your hand on Carlos, I'll stand here where I can put my hands on Anthony this morning. Congregation, I believe that as children of God, there are two things we are commanded to do. One is to pray for each other. There are a lot of things, but in this situation, one is to pray for each other and to bless each other. So I want you to extend your hand this way. And as you do so, I want us to pray together, and then I want us to speak a blessing over them in their lives. Lord, we lay our hands right now on Carlos and Anthony. We thank You, Lord, for the work that You have done in their lives. We thank You for the promise that You have given unto them. We thank You, Lord God, that You have kept them and You've educated them and You've brought them to this stage and this place in life. Lord, we understand that they stand at an epoch moment. But God, we thank You that You are doing something incredible, that You have given them promises and gifts and talents. You have a plan for their life, and Your desire is to perform it and to do it fully. And I thank You, God, that You are ready to perform it. And so, God, we pray for them. We pray that their hearts would be true to You. We pray that their character would stand the test of time of that which is to come, Lord. We thank You, Lord God, that their desire would always be towards You and to dwell in Your house, Lord. God, we thank You, Lord, that You will protect them and prosper them and keep them according as their soul prospers, that You will prosper them, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that Your presence will forever be with them. And Lord, we speak a blessing over them. Lord, we pray that You will bless them in their going out and in their coming in. Lord, we pray that You will bless them in their talents and abilities, and You will bless them, Lord, in their relationships. Bless them, Lord, and prosper them. As they honor You, God, I pray that You will honor them. As they are faithful to You, I pray that Your faithfulness will be seen on their lives, God. I pray that a blessing of the Lord God Almighty will rest upon them mightily and heavily, Lord. And I thank You and I praise You that this day will be an epoch day, and they'll say from this day forward, it'll never be the same again. But from this day forward, I'll embrace God's plan for my life like never before. We praise You. We thank You for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray.